today because you can handle the truth.
This is Jim Fetzer, your host on Authentic News, right here on RBN Live, this 13th day of December, 2022-23, simulcasting on Speak Free Radio. The beat goes on. The massacre continues. Operation Al-Qasa Blood Day 67. Israeli forces storm Kamal Adwan Hospital in Beit Leah, of course. Take another hospital. You know what a threat they pose to Israeli civilians in the IDF? Casualties. 18,412 plus killed, 50,000 wounded in the Gaza Strip, 279 Palestinian killed in the occupied West Bank and East Jerusalem. Israel revised its estimated October step down from 1,400 to 1,147. I estimate over half of whom were actually killed by the IDF. 435 Israeli soldiers killed since October 7th. Israeli media reports over 5,000 injuries, citing military sources. Key developments? Israeli war jets bombed the house of Al Jazeera correspondent Anna Al-Sharif, killing his father, Jamal, 65, in Jubla's Block 5 neighborhood. Al-Sharif is the third Al Jazeera journalist to see his family members killed in Israeli bombardment. It's no accident, by the way. Israeli forces have killed 86 journalists in Gaza since October 7th. However, media workers whose relatives were killed far exceed that number. Rescue teams have recovered 23 bodies buried under the rubble following the bombardment of the Kala family home in that neighborhood. Israeli military announced 20 soldiers killed in friendly fire in Gaza. 13 mistakenly identified as terrorists. Houthi rebels launched missile on vessel scheduled to dock in Israel's Ashdod port, set on fire near the Bab el-Mandeb Strait. Lots going on here. Moreover, we have a report from the Truth Seeker. An Israeli colonel and other commanders among 10 killed in Gaza over the past day. The Israeli military says 10 of its troops were killed on Tuesday during the aggression against a besieged Gaza Strip. A senior Israeli colonel who commanded a forward base of an elite infantry unit was killed in Gaza. Isaac bin Basat, 44, was killed along with 700 Israelis on Tuesday in an ambush by Palestinian fighters. They're doing a great job, in my opinion. From the point of view of military, I applaud Hamas. I repeat a story of yesterday. UN General Assembly has voted overwhelmingly to adopt a resolution demanding a ceasefire in Gaza. As global opposition to the U.S.-backed Israeli massacre of Palestine continues to rise, 193 members in the General Assembly, of whom 153 countries supported the resolution, 10 voted against, 23 abstained. The resolution expresses grave concern over the catastrophic humanitarian situation in the Gaza Strip and the suffering of the Palestinian civilian population, emphasizing that the Palestinian and Israeli civilian populations must be protected in accordance with international humanitarian law. What this reflects is growing worldwide opposition to what Israel is doing in Palestine. Meanwhile, profoundly disturbing, Israel begins pumping salt water into Hamas Gaza's tunnels. I hoped it wouldn't come to this, but I'm not surprised it has. These are sadistic, vicious, ruthless monsters who are slaughtering a basically peaceful and very humane population. Israel's military has begun pumping seawater into Hamas vast complex of tunnels in Gaza, according to U.S. official briefed on the operation, part of an intensive effort to destroy the underground infrastructure that has underpinned the group's operations. The move to flood the tunnels with water from the Mediterranean, which is in an early stage, is one of several techniques Israel is using to try to clear and destroy the tunnels. A spokesperson for the Israeli Defense Ministry declined to comment. Israeli officials say Hamas' underground system has been key to its operations on the battlefield. The tunnel system, they say, is used by Hamas to maneuver fighters across the battlefield and store the group's rockets and munitions, and enables the group leader to command and control their forces. Israel also believes some hostages are being held inside the tunnel. That'll go down as collateral damage. Mind you, I've spoken with an engineer about this. It has a potential to contaminate all the freshwater wells in the vicinity, making the area uninhabitable for centuries. Uninhabitable for centuries. But these sadists just don't care. Meanwhile, significantly, Iran threatens a big explosion in the Middle East if Israel continues to kill terrorists. Well, it's happening. The Islamic Republic of Iran threatened a big explosion could unfold in the Middle East if Israel continues to hunt down the Hamas terrorists responsible for, we're told, murdering 1,200 Israelis on October 7th. At least every week, we receive a message from the U.S. telling us U.S. bases in Syria and Iraq are targeted by some groups, says the Iranian foreign minister. At any moment, there's a possibility of a big explosion in the region, one not controllable by any party. I believe it. It might be better sooner than later. Meanwhile, Netanyahu hints at expanding colonial violence to the occupied West Bank. This guy, of course, is the most vicious of the vicious. PM Netanyahu made an erroneous but revealing statement during Monday's Knesset meeting of the Foreign Affairs and Security Committee. The difference between Hamas and the Palestinian Authority is only that Hamas wants to destroy us here and now, and the PA wants to do it in stages. I was speaking of the hypothesis that the PA returned to governing role in Gaza, which runs against Israel's interests. There are implications of expanding colonial aggression in the occupied West Bank, using the terror narrative as the pretext. You can count on that coming. Meanwhile, Israeli forces have attacked a UNRWA school in northern Gaza. A video showing the moment Israeli forces blew up a school building in northern Gaza. The military said it was used as a Hamas outpost, and soldiers can be heard cheering in the background. UN schools and buildings continue to be targeted by Israel, while also being used as shelters for thousands of displaced Palestinians, which from the Israeli point of view makes them inviting targets. Meanwhile, here's Scott Ritter suggesting that Hezbollah will take all of Galilee and North Israel if the hostages, all the Palestinian hostages, are not released.
Well, let's keep in mind where the IDF was when the truce started. They were getting their butts kicked up north by Hezbollah, literally having billions of dollars of intelligence and security infrastructure wiped away along with dozens of tanks. And
there he is.
That's it's I don't know. They were all quiet, but hopefully they'll be quiet. I don't know what's going on out in front of my yard right now. The fact is they were losing the war against Hezbollah, and they were fought to a standstill by Hamas. Let's remember that Benjamin Netanyahu said at the beginning of this, we will never accept a ceasefire. We will never trade prisoners. And yet here we are, day six of a ceasefire that he never was going to accept. And they're trading prisoners that he said they were never going to exchange. Why? Because Hamas fought them to a standstill. The day before this ceasefire kicked in, they don't call it a ceasefire, now they're calling it a pause because he said he would never accept a ceasefire. Israeli battalions were withdrawn from Gaza because they were beat, because they wouldn't fight anymore, because the men were scared, because the officers wouldn't execute the orders. Why? Because Hamas wasn't beat. Hamas was fighting, and fighting very well, destroying hundreds of vehicles, killing scores of Israelis. The Israelis were fought to a standstill, and so Benjamin Netanyahu did what he had to do. He was under a lot of pressure to get these hostages out, so he did what he said he wouldn't do. He accepted a truce, a ceasefire, and he started exchanging. Now we're in a situation where, you know, he has backed himself into a corner rhetorically. He keeps talking about defeating, the strategic defeat of Hamas. He doesn't understand the following. The moment he reinitiates conflict in Gaza, A, they're going to be beat badly by Hamas. B, Hezbollah is coming in like he's never seen Hezbollah come in before. The Israeli media just admitted what I've been saying all along, that Israel can't stop Hezbollah, that if Hezbollah wants to take the Galilee, Hezbollah will take the Galilee, and there's nothing that Israel could do to stop them. This is the situation that Netanyahu finds himself in. So he now has to, you know, weigh politically what's best, to go back to war and get beat, because they will get beat, or to continue this truce and try to buy time politically by getting more prisoners out. The problem is they got rid of the easy ones, the women and the children. Now what's left are the soldiers and the men, which means that Hamas is going to extract a higher price. Hamas wants all the prisoners released, all the hostages. You were right to point out when you grab somebody off the street, put them in a prison without any charges, without due process, that's not a prisoner, that's a hostage. So Israel's holding thousands. Hamas wants them released. And so Netanyahu is in a very difficult place politically. I think
Scott Ritter, of course, got it right. Now, that was a bit dated of a couple of days ago, but that's a situation in which Netanyahu has found himself. Meanwhile, and this is all too true, and the whole world appreciates that the United States is complicit in genocide. This is from Strategic Culture. A UN security, this is, it goes back all the way to a UN security vote on the 8th, but this is dated the 12th, demanding an immediate humanitarian ceasefire failed. Because the U.S. used its veto power as the sole defending vote. The U.S. ambassador to the U.N., Linda Thomas-Greenfield, did not cast the damning vote. She sent her assistant instead, shielding herself from the disgust of the international community. Thomas-Greenfield is a direct descendant of African slaves held in Africa without citizenship or human rights, similar to the Palestinian people today. Secretary of State Blinken met with Qatar PM and Minister of Foreign Affairs ahead of the December 8th meeting with the Arab Islamic Ministerial Committee. Some had envisioned the meeting would take place prior to the UN vote so they could present their case as to why a ceasefire to save children's lives should be supported by the United States. Instead, Blinken waited until after the U.S. voted no, and the ceasefire was an impossibility, to sit around the table with the Arab Islamic Ministerial Committee, who all look dejected and hopeless. They don't blink on. They reject the U.S.-Israeli aggression against the Palestinian people in Gaza. He called on the U.S. to assume its responsibility and take the necessary measures to push Israel toward an immediate ceasefire. They called for a lifting of the siege, which prevents adequate amounts of humanitarian aid into Gaza. But it's not happening. Why? Because the U.S. government is staffed by Israeli Zionist Jews who are acting on behalf of Israel and who could care less about the United States. That's how it is. We have to face up to it. Meanwhile, the U.S. has threatened to kill the Yemen peace deal over a Houthi attack on Red Sea shipping. Antiwar.com. The U.S. is threatening to kill a peace plan for Yemen that was negotiated between the Houthis and the Saudis if the Houthis continue attacking shipping in the Red Sea, which a group has been doing in response to Israel's assault on Gaza. Good for them. The Guardian reported the Houthis and Saudis have reached a peace deal that could satisfy all the major parties involved, even the Southern Transition Council, a UAE-backed group that wants to see the restoration of North and South Yemen as two separate countries as they were before Yemen was unified in 1990. The peace plan has been presented to the UN, but the details have not been disclosed to the public. According to The Guardian, the agreement involves three phases in a potential U.S. plan to redesignate the Houthis as a foreign terrorist organization could prevent the first phase from being implemented. Of course, the U.S. is going to block peace agreements any way it can. That has been our role historically. America has become a terrorist organization. Meanwhile, turning to Ukraine, the situation is very grim. Ukraine's elite 47th Mechanized Brigade has been surrounded and is low on ammunition. A critical front faces collapse. Ukraine's elite 47th Mechanized Brigade, stationed in the town of Avdiivka in the disputed Donetsk region, has been surrounded and forced to contend with growing ammunition shortages, according to multiple reports from Ukrainian and Western sources. British reports indicate the brigade was meant to attack a Russian column before it linked up with assault infantry on the northern flank, but failed to do so due to a lack of ammunition. Well, that tells it all. The situation is very grim. Ukraine has lost. Meanwhile, we've had several developments regarding the Russian boisterous space chief, Dmitry Rogozin. He's a blustering head of the space program, out of position following a big shakeup in the Russian government, being replaced by Yuri Borisov, Russian deputy prime minister of space and defense, bringing an end to Rogozin's dynamic reign as general director of the country's space program. He's been in charge of Roscosmos since his appointment as director in 2018. Prior to that, deputy prime minister since 2011, overseeing space and defense. But now there's been an attempt to kill him. Rather stunning. He was targeted in a restaurant by sophisticated French-made weaponry, where the key question becomes how it was known he was there. Rogozin, who was wounded but not killed, has said he saw from space what weapon he was wounded with and is preparing to take revenge. Dmitry Rogozin, who was wounded in a restaurant in Donetsk on New Year's Eve, said with the help of satellite images. Wow, this is back from January. With a satellite, he had precisely located the howitzer that was fired at him in preparing a fake revenge. My understanding is Rogozin is a persona non grata because he's an enthusiastic Russian nationalist. We'll see what may come. Right back.
Eleanor Rigby picks up the rice in the church where a wedding has been. Lives in a dream waits at the window, wearing the face that she keeps in a jar by the door. Who is it for?
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email ProudSouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
Attention, freedom-loving patriots. Are you ready to dive deep into the principles that founded our great nation? Join me, Peter Serafin, and the Institute on the Constitution as we light the way to a brighter future with the Liberty Lighthouse Classroom. At liberty-lighthouse.com/classroom, you'll find a treasure trove of online courses on the U.S. Constitution, carefully crafted to empower you with knowledge to defend your rights and liberty, whether you're a student, a history enthusiast, or just a concerned citizen. These courses are for you. Gain a comprehensive understanding of our Constitution's principles, the wisdom of our founding fathers, and how to apply them in today's world. As a special offer to our freedom-loving listeners of Republic Broadcasting Network, use coupon code RBN at checkout and get 20% discount on any course. Join the Liberty Lighthouse Classroom and be a part of the movement to uphold the values that have made our nation exceptional. Unleash the power of knowledge and protect what truly matters, our Constitution. Visit liberty-lighthouse.com/classroom today. Don't miss this incredible opportunity. Use code RBN for 20% off. Together, we'll be the beacon of freedom our founding generation envisioned. Liberty Lighthouse Classroom, illuminating minds, empowering patriots.
Did you know the IRS publicly admits that income tax is collected by voluntary compliance? Get the information you need to help you avoid income tax with these 5 easy steps. All you have to do is go to avoidincometax.com to get your 5 easy steps on how to avoid the IRS income tax. Escape the IRS. Let avoidincometax.com help you. We guarantee our 5 easy steps or your money back. Go to avoidincometax.com.
Here comes the sun, and I say it's all right.
Well, just yesterday, Paul Craig Roberts, whom I've observed to be a very wise man, published, "Is the Era of Truth Over?" This website, he writes, continues to be read in every country in the world and continues to have committed donors who keep it alive. But my quarterly appeals bring inadequate reader response, meaning he's hurting. Aren't we all? Truth tellers are slandered every day by alleged fact checkers and verification sites, such as NewsGuard, that I recently exposed. I find it extraordinary that Americans can be so stupid as to believe snake oil salesmen. Anyone can be set up by Control the Explanation Money to be a fact checker or a verification site. If you look at the personnel involved in these slander websites, which is all they are, there's no sense, no one of any consequence or achievement. All of them are persons of zero accomplishment other than in the art of slander. Does it occur to Americans to wonder who sets up these sites for the purpose of suppressing truth and discrediting truth tellers? Probably not. Most Americans still think they live in a pre-democratic country. A few remaining truth tellers face a dilemma. Why continue? What's the use? An individual voice cannot be heard when up against billions of dollars in unanimous voice of print and TV media, government, corporate America, and the endless websites established by the establishment to control the explanation, the narrative. All a website has as an indication of its worth is its readers' financial support. If that support is not there, then the website has no purpose. If truth tellers fold up, America will have no alternative to the tyranny of the blue pill. I disagree with Paul. A website has purpose. I've never been driven by money. I have very limited funds, but it's never mattered to me. As long as I could pay my bills, keep a roof over my family's head, you know, keep us going. That's all that's mattered. So I think Paul may be slightly, ever so slightly exaggerating. The purpose of a website, most certainly mine, whether it's the video, whether it's the blog, whether it's Twitter, is anything but making money. I could care less about money. I care about truth. I know he does, too. Meanwhile, we have a report to be concerned about spying on America. Listen to this. Jim Jordan, Glenn Greenwald, talking about the surveillance state in which we live. But first, Glenn Greenwald.
There's probably no issue on which I have focused more as a journalist than the issue of illegal, warrantless domestic spying in mass perpetrated by the United States government on the American population. And as we've recounted before, the history of the U.S. security state, embedded in it was the idea that the U.S. security state will always be directed exclusively to foreign countries and never directed inward. And it was after 9/11 when really for the first time in mass, the U.S. security state, the powers of the NSA and the CIA and the FBI started being focused overwhelmingly on the domestic population. Obviously, the FBI had abused its powers domestically before, but never in the systemic way that 9/11 permitted. And it wasn't just in the year or two when fears were high when it happened. That was when those fears were exploited to justify the imposition of these new powers, and yet they never went away. The assurance at the time was, oh, don't worry, this is very temporary, just to get this crisis of terrorism under control. And once we do, we're going to give those powers back. And of course, that never happened. Now, we're going to have Senator Mike Lee on in just a little bit because it's time for a very important new vote about whether to extend these warrantless spying powers used against American citizens for another 5 years. And there's a real chance this time to stop it. But at the same time, there is a bipartisan effort underway in conjunction with the White House, the Biden White House, not only to extend those powers, but to dangerously expand them even further than they've ever been up until this point.
I want you to appreciate that Joe Biden, the guy they call Joe Biden, who wanders around naked in the White House in the middle of the night and doesn't know his own identity, has nothing to do with this. It's all behind the scenes. It's Barack Obama and his henchmen who are pulling the strings, all profoundly troubling. Meanwhile, well, the Supreme Court agreeing to hear a case that could have ramification for Trump, other cases before Donald Trump. The Supreme Court Wednesday agreed to hear an appeal brought by a man charged with offenses related to the January 6th assault on the Capitol, a case that could have major impact on the criminal prosecution of former President Trump. Except, of course, all these people thought they were just visiting the Capitol for the most part, apart from the FBI assets and stooges who are being provocative, the whole op having been run by Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer. We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Hi, Tom Bolton for Ease Off. I know so many of you are finding our Easy 4 carcass drop and lift an essential tool for your meat processing operation, but today I want to spotlight four of our new products. First, our right height hog cradles with steel or aluminum frames. Our customers love this back-saving innovation that enhances sanitation and speeds production. Next, our beef cradles with stainless steel or aluminum frames eliminate rust and corrosion. We hope you'll compare our quality and prices for this essential part of your processing line. Our cradles are especially effective when used with our power skinner. And finally, our hook tumbler will keep your hooks clean and polished. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC, 417-932-6419.
Tehi Boti Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com. The first word is drink, spelled D-R-I-N-K, then the word super, then the word tea. The complete website is drinksupertea.com, or call us at 818-965-9113, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects.
Email Tom at republicbroadcasting.org. T-O-M at republicbroadcasting.org.
Well, here's that report I began discussing. It's actually from NBC News that the justices are going to hear a case brought by defendant Joseph Fisher seeking to dismiss a charge accusing him of obstructing an official proceeding, namely the certification by Congress of President Biden's election victory, which was disrupted by a mob of Trump supporters. Now, actually, that's not true. They hadn't reached a point of talking about the vote. They were on the verge of discussing evidence of voter fraud and election theft. That's why it was skillfully arranged by Pelosi, Schumer, the FBI, and the mayor of Washington to make these things happen, where most of the patriotic civilians thought they were just peacefully protesting as they believed to be their right under the First Amendment. Trump, remember, had told them to peacefully and patriotically protest statements that were edited out by the January 6th Commission. And now, of course, we know they have destroyed their video deposition because you had one witness after another that wasn't conforming to their predetermined package of conclusions. Just outrageous. Meanwhile, there are multiple websites devoted to tracking the legal cases involving Trump. Here's one called justsecurity.org. On both criminal and civil litigation fronts, former President Trump faces a bevy of lawsuits and investigations with more cases likely to follow. Some are civil suits stemming from his pre-presidential business dealings. That's in New York. That case has already been refuted by the bankers who extended the loan, saying they were perfectly satisfied with Trump's collateral, meaning there's no victim there. Trump paid them back with interest. They were fat and happy. It's partisan Democrats abusing the legal system to make a case where there is no case at all. Others are defamation claims from women he allegedly assaulted. Remember that one from E. Jean Carroll, who claimed she was assaulted in Bloomingdale's and can't even remember the year? I say, find any victim of rape who can't remember the minute, the hour, the day when they were assaulted. Those are genuine victims. This is totally fake. And would you believe the New York legislature actually created an exemption because the statute of limitations had run out to allow this totally frivolous case to be filed? How disgusting. More still are criminal probes and civil action that scrutinizes attempts to overthrow the results of the 2020 election, one being in Georgia. It's all based on his saying, we want to find the votes. Let's find the votes. Because he knew the polls had showed he was going to win in Georgia just as he was going to win all over the United States. They try to make a mountain out of a molehill. It comes to nothing. And, of course, then we have the classified documents case in Florida. And I guarantee you 100% that also is not going to go anywhere. Indeed, there's overwhelming evidence that Hillary Clinton and Joe Biden, when he was vice president, violated, committed the kind of crimes they're accusing Trump. But Trump actually had a secure vault that always had been approved by the National Archives, even investigated by the FBI. He had the right to the documents he had as president with the ultimate declassification authority. But Biden at the time was only vice president. He had some of that secure material stored in his garage with his precious Corvette. What a scumbag. And Hillary, we all know, deleted a server and some 33,000 emails. And what has the government done to prosecute? Not a damn thing. Here, you want to talk about someone with chutzpah. Hunter Biden is insisting he's not going to comply with a GOP subpoena. He accuses MAGA Republicans of invading his privacy in a public statement. This is just frankly absurd. Hunter Biden held a short press conference on Capitol Hill Wednesday morning to announce he will not comply with the House Oversight Committee's lawful subpoena. He was scheduled to appear for a closed-door deposition at 9:30 a.m., the House Republicans say they're now moving to hold him in contempt of Congress as appropriate. But Representative Eric Swalwell, Democrat of California, remember, bang, bang, fang, fang, this is a guy who had an affair with a Chinese spy, and his lawyer, Abby Lowell, standing nearby. Hunter, once again, offered to testify publicly, rather than first appear for a closed-door deposition, as is normally done. In other words, Hunter Biden is trying to tell Congress how to conduct its investigations. Here's a second report about it from Breitbart. Hunter Biden made clear during a press conference Wednesday, that would be today, that he will only testify under his own rules. and will not comply with House investigators' lawful subpoena that compelled him to testify behind closed doors at 9:30 a.m. this morning. His failure to appear before the House will likely be a factor in formalizing the House impeachment inquiry vote Wednesday evening, that's tonight, regarding President Biden's involvement in the Biden family business. I mean, the degree of corruption is frankly staggering. In fact, it's underlined by this very, very interesting report. A mob boss told Jesse Waters one shocking thing about Joe Biden. Former Gambino crime family underboss Sammy the Bull Gravano served as a government star witness in a trial that sent mob boss John Gotti to jail, where he later died in prison. He's well-versed in FBI probes and cover-ups. In an appearance on Jesse Waters' Fox News show, Gravano expressed shock at what the FBI and Justice Department have allowed the Biden family to get away with from their alleged foreign influence peddling scheme. It's mind-blowing. I don't understand how the country is just sitting back listening to these things and no action is being taken, Gravano told Waters. The Fort Gambino crime family soldier said he had associates who served 22 lifetime sentences for this kind of stuff. 22 lifetime sentences. He's basically saying there was a time when there was a degree of law and order in this country, but no longer. Meanwhile, a Democratic leader claims that Jewish caucus is going to end the party. Well, that's interesting. As a result of their affiliation, the North Carolina Democratic Jewish Caucus has been accused by Ryan Jenkins, chairman of the North Carolina Progressive Democrat Caucus, of ending the party. With 17 votes against, 16 in favor, and 17 abstentions, the Jewish Caucus was rejected as an affiliate of the state Democratic Party last week. They are threatening the ones who voted to abstain or targeting every single person who either didn't come. He said of the members that if the Jewish caucus decide to connect with a North Carolina Democrat Party, many progressive caucus members would be opposed and might not vote in 2024. Thus, he's suggesting they could basically bring an end to the party. Meanwhile, the Children's Health Defense, this is Bobby Jr.'s company, funds lawsuit on behalf of a man who says a Horizon cell tower triggered life-threatening cardiac events. I've heard a lot about this. If you dig into it, these 5G towers, I'm convinced, are a serious threat to our health. An Idaho man alleging the radio frequency radiation emitted by a cell tower installed next to his home triggered more than 15 episodes of atrial fibrillation. That's, of course, heart palpitations irregular. Today sued Verizon and other companies involved in the operation of the tower. Henry Hank Allen, age 53, said his electromagnetic sensitivity makes him vulnerable to life-threatening cardiac episodes, which began in April 2021 when Verizon activated the tower. I'm glad Bobby's Children Health Defense is assisting. Meanwhile, at the climate summit, a single sentence offers some hope. To wit, last night as North America slept, delegates from around the world concluded the global climate conference in Dubai when the chair, local oilman Satan Al-Jaber, quickly gabbled through an agreement that included a sentence calling for transitioning away from fossil fuels and energy systems in a just, orderly, and equitable manner. They might not seem like much. It is, after all, the single most obvious thing one could possibly say about climate change, if you believe in it. Akin to an effort to reduce my headache, I'm transitioning away from hitting myself in the forehead with a hammer. by itself, it'll accomplish nothing. But you see, the whole thing is predicated on a fraud. There's 600 million years of world history. There's no correlation between the amount of CO2 in the atmosphere and the temperature of Earth. They are totally unconnected. Plus, CO2 not only cools Earth in four different ways, but is indispensable to the production of water and air. In other words, without CO2, life could not exist on Earth. Meanwhile, Biden's done something pretty bizarre, in my opinion. You're not going to be allowed to be a foster parent if you believe in Christian values. I mean, get this. Chuck Calesto tweeted, Christians are not allowed to be foster parents in Biden's America. Those who do not affirm the LGBTQ rules because of their Christian faith will be deemed unsafe by the Biden administration and ultimately rejected as foster parent candidates. Unreal. Thus, I'm very pleased, as a Gateway Pundit reports, 19 state attorneys general urged the Biden regime to reconsider the proposed rule that disqualifies Christian families who do not affirm LGBTQ rules from becoming foster parents. Frankly, it's absurd. Attorneys general from 19 states have in a joint letter opposing a recent rule proposed by the Department of Health and Human Services impacting foster care placements. A contentious rule, officially titled Safe and Appropriate Foster Care Placement Requirements, Title 4E and 4B, was published in the Federal Register on September 28, 2023, under the citation 88 Fed Reg 66752. It aims to establish guidelines for foster care placement with a specific focus on respecting and affirming the self-identified gender identities of children in the foster care system. Among its stipulations, the rule mandates that foster parents acknowledge and use a child's chosen name and pronouns and permit them to dress in a manner consistent with their gender identity. According to the American Family Association, those who do not affirm the LGBTQ rules because of their Christian faith will be deemed unsafe by the Biden administration and ultimately rejected as foster parent candidates. Can you believe that in the United States of America? Meanwhile, Citizen Watch report, potential child trafficking site on Etsy, E-T-S-Y, taken down. Pizza delivery for $9,000. Liz Cronkin tweets, is child trafficking taking place on Etsy? There's a lot of suspicious lessing on Etsy that have people wondering if child porn or children are for sale for sex on the e-commerce site, for example. There's a picture of a pizza listed for sale for $9,000. This takes me back to my research on Pizzagate, where it turned out that Barack Obama has spent $35,000 taxpayer dollars in order to fly pizza and hot dogs from Chicago for a private party at the White House. Now, taken literally, this is absurd. The White House will not accept food from outside sources to circumvent the risk of poisoning. Number two, if you're talking about real pizza and hot dog, flying them in from Chicago would be ridiculous because they'd be soggy and inedible by the time they arrive. But in the language of pedo speak, hot dogs are little boy pizza, little girls. So what's going on here? I think it's perfectly legit. When you got a pizza delivery for $9,000, they're selling you a little girl for $9,000. By the way, there are other websites like Mayfair that seem to be also involved, from reports I've read, in trafficking children. Meanwhile, won't someone save us from the COVID-19 inquiry on the Truth Seeker? as Scotty once said, I can't take it, Captain. If I have to read, see, or hear one more legacy media report about the monumental farce that is the UK's COVID-19 inquiry, I fear my brain will batter my soul to death. Why on earth is anyone taking it seriously? I'm sorry, I think millions of Brits have been hypnotized. Independent inquiry, are you on acid? Believing the COVID-19 inquiry will reveal anything even remotely real is like trusting the outcome of internal police investigations into deaths of parties in police custody. It's like asking Crippen to review food safety standards or Tony Blair to investigate war crimes. It is beyond ridiculous.
Is helping anyway. Now, but now these days are gone, and I'm not so self-assured. Now I find I change my mind and open up the doors. Help me.
Welcome to my fourth annual Volkswagen Conspiracies Conference 2023, a virtual event on the 16th and 17th of December. Outstanding speakers: Ace Baker, Brian Davidson, Fred Lochter, Donald Jeffries, Stephanie Sledge, Dr. Meryl Ness, Giuseppe Vafangulo, Joaquin Gopian, Dr. Reed Labo, Jack Mullen, Joe Olson, Brian Davidson, Monique Lucan, Scott Bennett, Nick Kohlerstrom, Russ Winter, Ron Avery, Miriam Hinane, John Kaminsky, Sarah Westall, Dr. Catherine Horton. This is something you don't want to miss. 500 free Zoom tickets are available. Register now. Go to falseflagsandconspiracyconference.com/tickets/ to get it now.
Hello, hello, hello from beautiful Colorado. My name is Samuel Jung Kay, and I am currently the lead Shilajit hunter and master herbalist for Colorado Shilajit Company. In this video series, I will be discussing what we believe is the greatest of all adaptogenic superfoods and the single greatest natural healing remedy gifted to us by Mother Earth. I think you too will become as excited by this incredible substance called Shilajit as we were and are after our discovery of this amazing gift right here in beautiful, colorful Colorado. You may already know Shilajit by other names: Shilajit, Momio, Momi, Mami, Mineral Pitch, Asphaltum, and others. Shilajit literally translates to destroyer of weakness and conqueror of mountains. Shilajit has been in use for thousands of years and is considered as the highest valued cure-all of any earthly substance.
Look for the gold mountain and medical symbol logo in banners on republicbroadcasting.org to watch the full video and see more information. Use code GORBN when ordering. That's GORBN.
People often write to tell us what has happened for them since starting Extendivite. Allow me to read a few. In 1 month, my blood pressure dropped significantly. I no longer get chest pain after exercise. It's amazing, and I ordered my second bottle. The reviews are spot on. My target is to get off BP meds, and if it keeps going like this, I see a light at the end of the tunnel. So far, a great product is what it claims to be. Great product. A few days in and I could feel a difference for certain. Not checking medical stats yet. I know this is really working by how I feel. We'll continue to take this product. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit extendivite.com. That's extendovite.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite. I look at all the lonely people. I look at all the lonely people.
Helena Rigby picks up the rice in the church where a wedding has been. Lives in a dream. Waits at the window, wearing the face that she keeps in a jar by the door. Who is it for? All the lonely people. Where do they all come from? All the lonely people. Where do they all belong?
Well, here's a story representative of the times in which we live. Netflix replaces white investigators who took down Purdue Pharma with a fictional black woman. Anti-white bias. Wow. Unbelievable. Once again, Netflix is under fire for accusations of race swapping following the release of the new series, Painkiller. Painkiller uses fictional events that dramatize the true story of the real Sackler family and the lawsuit filed against Purdue Pharma over opioid manufacturing and the subsequent opioid crisis. Assistant U.S. attorneys Owen Foster and Michael Drescher, in addition to other staff members of the Vermont U.S. Attorney's Office, were among the real-life investigators who are critical to the case. While Painkiller includes a character based on real-life U.S. Attorney John Brownlee, the series introduced a composite character to represent the other key staffers. Actress Uzo Aduba is a fictional champion investigator, Eddie Flowers, who brings a case against Purdue Pharma. And she, of course, is black. Screen Rant reports the decision to create a composite character was for the sake of their story, and that the show's creators needed to ensure that the hero of the television series had one singular face, and that is where Adubu as Eddie came in. I saw a preview of the Netflix show and noticed the story's intrepid wily hero, Edie Flowers, is a black girl boss fed prosecutor who single-handedly takes down the Sackler family, and thought it was weird that I'd never heard of this person and that she's not a more prominent public figure, since she perfectly ticks every lib fantasy box, strutting, cunning, courageous, sassy, and who outsmarts her evil Big Pharma antagonist. But of course, when I looked it up, it turns out Eddie Flowers isn't real. They just made her up. That one-minute pitch, by the way, for the False Flag and Conspiracies Conference beat me to the punch. Let me say it's this Saturday and Sunday, and it's organized in the following way. The first four speakers on Saturday, Ace Baker, False Flags Happen, So What, Brian Davidson, using the earliest and most reliable evidence standard to evaluate false flags. Fred Luchter, Further Abuse of an Octogenarian Holocaust Denier. James Fetzer, JFK, What We Know Now That We Didn't Know Then, each 55 minutes, followed by a question period. Check it out on my blog. You don't want to miss. Right back. I just need someone to love. Could this be anybody? I want somebody to love.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at libertystickers.com. Again, that's libertystickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
You're listening to Real Talk Radio. Only on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Welcome to the second hour of Authentic News right here on RBN Live, where I take your calls. The lines are open, completely open. If you ever wanted to seize the opportunity, this is a good time to do it. I'll continue talking about the conference after those first four presentations, which run from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Central Time. I have a discussion period, open questions for Ace Baker, Brian Davidson, Fred Luchter, and me. The second group of presentations includes Donald Jeffries, Masking the Truth, How COVID-19 Destroyed Civil Liberties and Shut Down the World. Stephanie Sledge, Exposing the Truth About Trump, PPP During COVID. Dr. Merrill Nass, Biological Warfare, and the WHO's biosecurity agenda. Then a question period with Donald Jeffries, Stephanie Sledge, Merrill Nass. Then we have Giuseppe Vaffanculo, Kill Bill Before He Kills Us All, Joaquin Agopian, Elites Genocide Against the Human Race, Dr. Rima Lebo, The Conspiracy Is Real. Now, how do we fix it? 9 p.m., Jack Mullen, Privacy and Freedom, and then questioned with Giuseppe Vaffanculo, Joaquin Agopian, Rima Lebo, and Jack Mullen. That's Saturday. A return to Sunday as occasion permits. Meanwhile, we have Kathleen in Texas. Kathleen, join the conversation.
Jim. Hey, Jim. Wonderful. Your shows, I never miss your shows. And I also love listening to, now that you gave all of us low-tech people the call in, the listen line for Revolution Radio, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 11 to 1 Central Time. I never miss it. It was great today, so thank you for that. But anyway, the reason I called, you had said that the tickets are free. Is that right for your...
Yeah. The tickets are free, 100% free.
Okay, so for somebody who has a landline and no internet, is there a number for me to call to get a free ticket? And the number of the Zoom number?
You know, Kathleen, that's a great question. Let me take a look here.
When you find out if you could give it to Mike... or Julie, that would be great.
Sure, that's good. I mean, looking at the ticket page, I'll check with Lorian, who is assisting me with the conference, and make a point of getting that information out tomorrow, Kathleen. And thank you for those kind words about the Revolution Radio show. I appreciate that. I'm doing interviews. Virtually every show there I'm doing as an interview. So, I have a guest on I give a 30-minute recap of major news stories and a guest for an hour and then take questions the last 30 minutes. So I'm really glad, Kathleen. I really appreciate your remarks.
Oh, but they're great. And then Layla's call Monday, that she, what she said and her emotion was what should be said. And
yes.
It was beautiful, just like it was.
Yes.
Just, you know, because what's going on, we shouldn't be so calm about it. So I was very happy to hear her emotional
yes.
Talk on Monday. Okay, well, thank you, Jim. You have a you have a wonderful Christmas, and tomorrow I know that I can call in the station, and that Mike will have that information, how a low-tech person, like a phone number where I could call and get the Zoom number.
Terrific. Absolutely terrific, Kathleen. I can't thank you enough.
You.
Wonderful, wonderful.
Thank
Mike
you.
In Kentucky. Mike in Kentucky, join the conversation. Mike.
Hey, one of the best things about the RBN, however, is the archives. You can go back and share the programs out on social media and be able to, you know, put the word out in multiple directions, bicycling out, you know, the awareness of the network in your program. I don't know if other radio networks have such extensive archives going back, I don't know, 15
that's
years.
That's a great point, Mike. I like that.
Well, I do that often. I encourage callers to go back and listen to their own calls and share it out with friends and family because, frankly, we get, and I have been myself, quite demonized and ran down, even though I could prove what I, you know, claim is and is seen as eccentric viewpoints. But why is that? And I think we need to change some of the terms we use, like the idea of false flag. False flag itself is an incomplete description of what we see going on. Who has the means and motives to do a lot of these things? A better term, like, would be state crime and the ability to shut down exposure of the true culprits as well
yeah.
as finger or set up the patsies and scapegoats and have access to the technology to do that, being, you know, a mass surveillance to find patsies to set up and corral and, you know, steer toward being the patsy, find stunt doubles. You know, that even spouses would recognize, well, yeah, that was my husband that did that. You know, that's where this face recognition database is so insidious, because they can find stunt doubles and corral these stunt doubles to be where they need to be, like rent a rider truck or be a, you know, a year-to-year contract employee of a university in a small town as a composition instructor or something, and look like the guy that is the bus driver that you're going to, you know, set up to be the terrorist because he's in the militia or something. You know, you just start to use your imagination about what they could do with this fast surveillance networks on people, tracking everywhere they go with their phones, being able to duplicate their voice prints, being able to get into the devices, replace data, and then erase the footprints where they went in and, you know, falsified data in a phone or even. But and of course, ensure prosecution publicly if the person is dead and the public doesn't believe it. They continue to maintain the false story by controlling the press because, hey, maybe they've got dirt on the press. I'm trying to remember who there's one of the CIA directors reportedly said something like you could buy a reporter cheaper than a good call girl.
Yeah.
So
that's
you have
right.
to have dirt on that reporter because you're monitoring all his communications. You know where he hangs out in bars. You know if he's cheating on his wife, cheating on his taxes, or even if he isn't cheating on his taxes, you can just threaten to audit the guy into oblivion. And he'll be, you know, paying forever for lawyers to try to defend himself.
Yeah.
So go along and write the story the way we want it written or else, you know, we'll take care of you. You can go along or we'll destroy you. I mean, that's the kind of power that this government has. And we can't just blame our government because since 1979, the Israelis have had this tech domination program called Talpiot. They've infiltrated the processors down to the kernel. They used to call it the kernel. inside computers with hidden operating systems. A lot of this has been exposed, but you try to tell people about it, and they're like, oh, that's conspiracy theory. And you can even send, I'll send you some links, okay? The German government, when they found out about the Snowden leaks, which I think is disingenuous, that, what was her name, Angela Merkel, nobody told her phone was insecure. Come on. She had to have known her phone was insecure. But they started putting their phones in metal boxes so they could have government meetings with some assurance of privacy in a room playing music, and then they go to a separate room and have their government meetings. So the American public needs to be aware of that. You don't have that kind of security. You don't have that kind of awareness. And people say, well, I've got nothing to hide. Sure you don't, until you do, until all of a sudden you're set up, you know. And because of your political activism, there's no freedom of association if they're tracking all of our known associates. And you decide you're going to go to a political meeting, you know. Oh, well, now all those people in that room are now directly associated with you and your X key score file and your IC reach file. Fourth Amendment be damned. Facing your accusers be damned. First Amendment's gone. The entire legal system is scrapped. And we don't have the ability to use this data they're collecting on us in our own defense. A friend of mine was attacked by four Ecuadorians at 7 o'clock in the morning. He decided he's going to film this unusual 50 cars in the parking lot where his music studio is. They accost him, steal his phone. Can he get the, he's trying to record them on Instagram. Can he get the Special Operations Division to give him the data they would use to prosecute him? No. That's not equal justice. They've scrapped the entire legal system. Our government is pirate, and it's controlled by the Israelis, who has this technology to control the world.
Mike, you're making so many wonderful points. Fascinating. Yeah, the phrase false flag actually originated in pirate times when the pirates would target a vessel and they'd raise a flag of a friendly nation to that nation. And then when they approach, they bring down the false flag and run up the skull and bones when they attack. Yeah. It's come to mean, you know, attributing responsibility to an event to someone other than those actually responsible, thus claiming Lee Oswald shot JFK when he wasn't even one of the, it turns out to be 8 different shooters, or that Sirhan Sirhan called Bobby when it was a security guard beside Bobby, or that 19 Islamic terrorists were responsible for 9/11 when it was the CIA, the neocons, and the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. So you're spot on.
The Israelis were shadowing them, and instantly when some of them got arrested for dancing around in New Jersey making a spectacle of themselves, they started saying, look, we're not the problem. The Palestinians are the problem.
Right.
And I think the U.S. government let the Israelis think that they were going to finger the Palestinians, and they went after all those other countries in the New American Century document. Went after Afghanistan, went after Saddam Hussein. The Israelis were going along, led along, thinking that the Palestinians were going to be the fall guy, I believe.
Oh, that was a plan, of course.
The Israelis, though, they're not lying down. You know, they're up in everything. They've got all the dirt they need on all of our politicians. They manufacture the intel chips in Israel to put secret operating systems in there. Somebody gave them the software for the sessionizers that ring our entire country with all of the fiber optic of the world, basically bottlenecked through the U.S. So they can siphon out the information on everybody, sift it, sort it, collate it, and figure out who to go after, you know, find the dirt on any target that they want to manipulate. And that's how they do this, what's called force multiplier. Even though there's, 15 million of them?
Good stuff.
They've got Russian allies. There's ethnic Russians all through Tel Aviv. So they've got a false adversarial relationship publicly with Russia while they're actually in bed with them.
Fascinating. So,
yeah, well, anyway, I'll let you go, but that's just tip of the iceberg,
man.
I've been looking at this for 20-some years.
Yeah. Well, you know your stuff. What a wonderful call, Mike. I can't thank you enough.
You're welcome.
Real pleasure. Call again. Meanwhile, Tom in Florida, I don't have to encourage you to call again. You're right here on the spot, Tom.
Well, yeah. Mike gave me an awakening. That was a good call. He woke me up to something I was thinking about. The reason I called you, Jim, I was just watching Breitbart News, and I was just watching Newsmax. And Mike, Professor Jim, do you see what's going on at the border with these Venezuelans draping themselves in Venezuelan flags instead of American flags?
Tell us, Tom. I don't know the way.
These illegals that are coming in our border, they're actually draping themselves in their own flags. Venezuelans, Ecuadorians. And by the way, the Ecuadorians, okay, they have American currency in Ecuador. Why are they coming here? They use American dollars over there. Why are they coming to the United States, Jim? What about the reparations that's never coming back to this money, the billions and billions of dollars?
Because, yeah.
And by the way,
Biden's giving them lots of free stuff, Tom, you know. The sheriff said they're getting $5,000 debit card right off the bat.
Well, listen here, Jim. Here's the reason I called, too. But first, I called about the Senate and the Congress. Right now, this guy, Brian Babin, I believe he's a congressman, he's just proposed a bill. There'll be no more anchor babies. And they're getting Trump ready for coming in November, you know, win the presidency. He's going to win. There's no doubt in my mind that Trump is going to destroy fumbling Biden. That guy's a total imbecile. I believe his son's going to jail for 5 years. I think Biden's going to go to jail when it's all over. He's a crook. I mean, just by the sheer fact, Jim, what's going on in California? Jim, you realize, and anybody can, I hope somebody from California calls in and explains to me, you got 8 million people in the state of California that were illegally in this state of California driving with driver's license now. What about the fumes? Where's the Green New Deal, Jim? Where's this Green New Deal about energy and water? There's no water in California, supposedly. So now what you're going to have 8 to 20 million more illegals drinking the Californians' water? What in the hell is this, Jim? Who the hell do these criminals think they're getting away with? And Mike was talking about the Jews. Well, you know what? Those Jews, they're Kabbalists, a lot of them. And, you know, there's some Christian Jews who believe in the Son of God, like I told you the other day. Those ones who believe in Jesus Christ, those Jews are not even considered Jews. That's how demonic these people are. That's how Talmudic monsters they are. They're absolute monsters. You're talking about Dickie Durbin? He's a Jew. All these senators, Blumenthal, said he went to Vietnam, Jew. Bernie Sanders, Marxist, communist, Russia, loves Russia, had a honeymoon over there, Jew. They're all Jews. Look at the Supreme Court, Jim. How many Jews are on the Supreme Court? Do you know?
I think six. If I'm not mistaken, let's see. It's been all Catholics and Jews. It was six of one and three of the other last time I record. I recollect, but yeah, Tom, give us that.
Well, what my is final it? Thought is, you know, we got the illegal aliens coming here, draping it.
Yeah, might be five Catholics and four Jews today. I don't know the latest count.
Yeah, that's probably about right. But yeah, Jim, you know, look at what's going on right now with this illegal incursion into our country. You're bringing the illegal aliens. Some states don't even have 8 million people in their state.
Yeah.
What I say, Jim, let's take all these illegals and ship them into Delaware with all those lily white.
Yeah, Joe Biden.
Into Delaware. Every illegal alien should go to Delaware or New Jersey.
Right.
Stick them right in those two states and we'll end this problem.
Tom, that's a great solution, except I think they all got to be shipped back to where they came from. Trump has said if he gets in, he's going to run the biggest deportation program in American history, and we need it.
Well, Jim, I want to get a job doing it. I would like to be one of those border agents. I'll sign up. I want to sign up to do that. If they only do it's a part-time job for 2 years, I would love to be one of those agents.
Hey, it could solve the unemployment problem, you know, and when you get rid of all the illegals, then you have more jobs for Americans.
That's right. Absolutely right. And you know what? Exactly right. And all these illegals, they're going to go back, and you know what? We'll teach them English for the time they've been here. Maybe they'll make those Latin countries speak English. Maybe they won't be so corrupt. Maybe they'll learn the English language and go back and start their businesses over there.
Yeah.
Bring them back.
Yeah.
Teach them English and let them go back there and learn
English. I believe the United States should have an official language of English so we can communicate with one another and coordinate efforts for the common good, Tom. I think it's absurd. You can be raised and live a whole life and die in the U.S. and never speak a word of English. Unbelievable.
Well, that happens here in South Florida. It's disgusting. And you know, Jim, I could go on and on for hours on your show, but I know you got other callers. But can you imagine they come in here, get small, they get 1% business loans. They're getting better health care than we get, Jim. It's appalling. It's disgusting.
Tom, your calls are great. Keep them coming, Tom. Keep them coming. We'll be right back.
Have a great
right
day.
Back. You too. Right back after this break.
It's all right.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email ProudSouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
Charles de Gaulle once said, actually, it's difficult to envision in this regard any other criterion, any other standard than gold. Yes, gold, which does not change in nature, which can be made into either bars, ingots, or coins, which has no nationality, and which is considered in all places and all times the immutable and fiduciary value par excellence. So when the question is, why gold? It's simple, my friends. The answer to that question is simply, why not? Like it or not, precious metals will always be the world's reserve currency. Even though nations do not define their currency by their worth in, say, gold, individuals still buy gold and silver to protect themselves from inflation. The more money a nation's central bank pours into the economy, the less valuable its currency, the dollar is, which means the price of everything else rises. $21 up for a bag of dog food, seeing that the dollar is cheap. That's why the cost of everything goes up. It's because the buying power, the value of the dollar has tanked. It's worth nothing. And yet gold that your family would have owned in 1907 will buy at least the same amount of goods, if not far more. William McPhee once stated, it's extraordinary how many emotional storms one may weather in safety if one is ballasted with ever so little gold. The truth about money, gold versus cash in a crisis, gold, a valuable thing to store, the power of gold in times of crisis. Historical sketch of paper currency. Oh, and beware the ides of rare coin dealers. And Alan Greenspan's speech on gold and economic freedom. How interesting. I'm going to give you gold and silver in 5 easy lessons. Seeking out the most efficient and most secure route to owning gold and converting it into widely accepted currency is the next best thing to enjoying gold-backed currency, my friends. In a world of central bankers hell-bent on devaluing our savings, you need to own private gold standard. Contact me, Jeffrey Bennett at Kettle Moraine Limited, by calling our phone number at 602-799-8214. That's 602-799-8214.
Francis from North Carolina, always a pleasure. Join the conversation, Francis.
Hey, young man. Just a short, brief thought in light of the commentary I've been hearing so far, and Mike nailed it terribly, but on point. It was ridiculous. Basically, it just confirms to me what I've always said for the longest time. I'm sure a lot of people got ticked off by it, and I really don't care. That basically, Israel, the government, the military, whatnot, is the pimp. And guess who's the whore? The U.S. government, military,
yes.
Is the whore.
Yes.
And as a result, they're basically raping so much from the U.S. It's not even silly. The question is, when is the government and the military of the U.S. going to put a stop to that and tell the pimp to go roast somewhere? Not that they probably find the same deity, but still.
Well, you know what BB said, this is in 1990, that the United States is the golden calf. We're going to suck it dry, chop it into pieces, and leave it as nothing but the world's largest welfare state, because that's what we do with countries we hate. This is Bibi Netanyahu, who's slaughtering Palestinians using weapons provided by the United States. He regards us as a country they hate, and they're only using us and abusing us. Yes, I think what you're saying is spot on, Francis.
Well, I'll put it this way. If they're not careful, the U.S. is going to find itself in a ditch, if not a hole, a black pit, that where it's been beaten the crap out of, sucked dry, just like what you just stated, as well as left to die and being pissed on for good measure.
Yes.
So with that, I'll have a shummy for the holidays, and you can have a mixed drink or whatever. And the people in Gaza, what I've read so far in the local news, is absolutely reprehensible that they've actually started making note of what the Israeli government and the military have been doing to the people. I mean, that would be unheard of here in the States.
Yeah. Yeah.
Absolutely.
And the whole world bears responsibility for sitting around and doing nothing about it.
Thank you. This is grotesque. Thank you. I mean, if I had someone do that here at my home, I'd be like, dude, you better make sure you take me out, because I'm going to take you out in the process. Anyway, enough out of me. Have a great week. Later.
Thank you, Francis. Have a good one. James, also in North Carolina. James, join the conversation. Unmute. James, are you there?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can now. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. Yeah. What do you think the chances are of the House being able to pass this resolution on an impeachment inquiry? I don't think it's been voted on yet, has it?
Well, the House can pass it because they have the majority control. None of the Democrats, I expect, are going to support it. The question would become what would be its fate in the Senate, where obviously the situation much more iffy. But if you take out the dead Democrats or the brain dead, if you take out Fetterman and now we got Feinstein out of the picture, how long has she been deceased? Who knows? Maybe there's a barest chance it could even pass through the Senate. But remember the House. The House brings the impeachment, holds a trial. Does the investigation and turns the charges over to the Senate for it to actually conduct the trial. But Biden, his corruption is so massive. You know, I mean, it's just boggles the mind, James. You there?
Look, No, the reason what prompted my question is I saw Mitt Romney on Meet the Press Sunday, and he's not going to vote for it. And there's such a thin majority in the House, I think only five, that if they get a few more, you know, you saw what happened with the vote to oust McCarthy. You know, the rhinos gathered enough to get him out. And this could happen again.
I mean, is Mitt still in the Senate? I mean, he's just a disgrace. This guy is useless. He was a vulture capitalist. He'd take companies that were thriving and sell them off for parts. I mean, he is, in my opinion, a despicable person of very low character and doesn't deserve even a platform. Certainly no one should pay any attention to Mitt Romney. But I think, I do think they're going to pass an impeachment resolution. Should have been done a long time ago. I mean, just over the border. Allowing the open border is more than sufficient to have impeached a guy. But I guarantee you, he's not going to be on the ticket in 2024. They got to get a fresh face. I still think it'll be Gavin Newsom, notwithstanding that DeSantis took him apart during the debate. I still think most likely Democrat ticket is Gavin Newsom and Michelle Obama. I think that's the most likely. Oh, there's some weird, Michelle and Barack seem to be involved in some movie that's coming out now that has a lot of really weird satanic aspects. Real news. We'll be back, Jake.
Real people, because you can handle the truth.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home.
Email tom@republicbroadcasting.org. tom@republicbroadcasting.org.
Einstein once said, "Future medicine will be the medicine of frequencies." What did he know? Imagine you hear ocean waves caressing a beach, or a favorite song from the past, or the trickle of the babbling brook. All of these are sound frequencies that positively affect us. Terahertz is a soothing, healing frequency that has been proven to resonate at the same frequency as healthy cells. It penetrates the body and stimulates new healthy cell growth. Want to diminish muscle aches, joint pains, and experience a greater sense of well-being? Tired of spending money on short-term remedies that never seem to work? Soothing, healing, relaxing terahertz frequency is now available and as handy as flipping a switch. Terahertz technology is changing the course of what we were taught about how to maintain our health and well-being. To learn more about this amazing breakthrough, go to naturalearthmedicine.com. That's naturalearthmedicine.com.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store, or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
You know, I need someone. Help! When I was younger, so much younger than today, I never needed anybody's help in any way. But now these days are gone, and I'm not so self-assured. Now I find I've changed my mind and open up the doors. Help me if you can, I'm feeling down.
Well, James, if you're still there, I'd welcome further thoughts you might have. But I do believe, yes, that an impeachment motion is going to pass the House. And since James is now gone, let me just say the lines are completely open. If anyone would like to get a word in edgewise, you've never had a better opportunity right now. Call into RBN, we'll get you on the air. Meanwhile, I was going through the program for the conference this weekend. I finished with Saturday. Sunday, 17 December, begins with Joe Olson, the corrupt Lone Star State. the Mafia, CIA, George Bush and more, followed by Brian Davidson, how false flags drive security apparatus spending. Then Monique Lukens, the curious case of 2.5+, 1/2 George Floyd's, 2.5+, 1/2 George Floyd's. Then having a question period with Joe Olson, Brian Davidson, and Monique Lukens. Meanwhile, then at 1 o'clock, Scott Bennett, what I saw in the Donbass. Scott has gone to Ukraine. He's been doing interviews on RT and other networks. He's a former Army Intel and PsyOps officer. He knows the score. It'll be a fascinating report to hear from him. Followed by Nick Kohlerstrand, Ukraine, the Just War. Nick has a new book about it, and he's going to share it with us. 3 o'clock, Russ Winter, the Israel-Hamas false flag. I can't wait to hear that one. Ron Avery, the homeland of the Jews, the greatest lie ever told, which has to do with the claim of the Israelis to the land of Palestine, followed by a question-answer session with Scott Bennett, Nick Kohlerstrom, Russ Winter, Ron Avery. Then in the evening, Miriam Hinane, the descent of journalism in a techno-fascism age, and how to navigate for truth. Then John Kaminsky, religion is a mind control device. Sarah Westall, longtime journalist, neurowarfare, the brain is the battlefield. Then Dr. Catherine Horton, how to fight back. For Dr. Horton, who has spoken at my previous conferences, is an expert in leading the legal fight against the use of electronic warfare on what are known as targeted individuals, followed by the question session with Marion Hyname, John Kaminsky, Sarah Westall, and Dr. Catherine Horton. Meanwhile, let's see if we get the latest from on impeachment. Maybe there is a late report on impeachment. Let's see what we can dig up here. Watch live. White House hold hearings. House Republicans to vote on Biden impeachment. Vote to formalize Biden impeachment inquiry in House coming. Here's one just 3 hours ago. Let's check this one out. See what it has to say. They're now, of course, running ads in advance, before you can get to the actual news report. Very clever how they're utilizing the internet for these purposes. But I'm sparing you the advertising. Let's see what we can get in terms of a news report now. Hopefully, we're about to have access. Huh. Why am I not hearing? Oh, because there we go.
This afternoon on whether it will authorize a formal impeachment inquiry into President Biden.
That's right. Several House Republicans are hoping to launch the investigation despite concerns from some members of their own party. The nearly year-long investigation is focused on the business dealings of the Biden family. Now, while it has raised some ethical questions, it has not provided any evidence of the president's alleged wrongdoing. That's an important detail. The White House denies all of the allegations. Now, if the vote passes the House, Republicans could look into potential charges of bribery, abuse of power, and obstruction. House Speaker Mike Johnson says the inquiry is not politically driven.
We have no choice. To fulfill our constitutional responsibility, we have to take the next step. We're not making a political decision. It's not. It's a legal decision. So people have feelings about it one way or the other. We can't prejudge the outcome. The Constitution does not permit us to do so.
CBS News congressional correspondent Scott McFarland joins us now from Capitol Hill. Scott, I want to get your reaction to what we just heard from the House Speaker saying it's not political, but House Republicans are a bit divided about this impeachment inquiry. What's going on?
That really is a fundamental point. He says it's a legal decision, not a political decision. When the House votes, likely in the 5 p.m. Eastern time hour today, they will have more power for their investigation. It will help underwrite it with more legitimacy when they come time to subpoena people and interview people and do the things you do as part of an impeachment inquiry. It solidifies the footing legally. But yeah, there are political implications. What this does immediately is uses the word impeachment and Biden in the same sentence. And that could water down the term when, oh, by the way, Republicans are poised to nominate a twice impeached nominee for the White House to run against President Biden. But it also extends things. It gives them the capability, if not the likelihood, over the next several months to continue saying impeachment and Biden. So it has both legal and political implications. Democrats argue it's pure politics. Mike Johnson just there says it's all about legality.
No, it's a good point, Scott. There are political benefits for Republicans to take this specific charge, even though there's no direct evidence of President Biden's wrongdoing. Talk to us more about the timing and why that's beneficial for Republicans.
It's interesting timing, to put it mildly, if not specifically designed timing. They are doing this. They're having this impeachment inquiry vote just as they're ready to leave town for the holidays and leave town with a whole lot of things still to do, including come to an agreement to fund the government and avoid a shutdown, come to some type of agreement on immigration reform, which would also help them pass needed aid for Ukraine. They're leaving that behind to go home for the holidays, potentially. But tying this one up and wrapping up this impeachment inquiry vote, maybe it softens the ground for compromises with Democrats by satisfying the hardliners, the Freedom Caucus members, on an impeachment vote before they seek those hardliners' help in a bipartisan deal to keep the government open. But also, and I think this is worth underscoring, it kind of halts or arrests momentum for the impeachment inquiry because they're launching it, then they're leaving. And that may be either by design or a consequence of the timing.
And talk to us about what the next steps will be if this passes.
There's a process that would likely lead to subpoenas and interviews and document requests. And one of the arguments the House Speaker and some Republicans, even in bluish moderate districts, have made is that the White House hasn't been forthcoming releasing records that have been requested by Congress. That's how they're justifying an impeachment inquiry vote. So no doubt, over the next few weeks and months, they would renew those document requests and have the leverage of a formal impeachment inquiry vote to do so. They were going to get kickback on any investigation without solidifying that this is a formal impeachment inquiry, and they are poised to do that today. The House Republican majority is painfully narrow. Just three votes can be lost, but they're confident they have the votes, or else it wouldn't be on the calendar.
All right. Scott McFarlane, we appreciate the update. Thank you.
And that host who said there wasn't any evidence, that's just completely absurd. I'll go back and track it down. But meanwhile, we have a call from Karen in Panama. Karen, join the conversation.
Hi, Jim. How you doing today?
Hey, good.
Listen, I've always wanted to ask this. Yeah, I've always wanted to ask this question of somebody. And, you know, they're always talking about Israel with the Samson option. That they can blow up the world because they've got nuclear warheads planted all over the place. Now, Israel is such a small country. How in the world could they have nuclear warheads, somehow hidden in a country that small away from any of their population centers? I mean, if you look at the countries that have nuclear silos, Russia, Pakistan, United States, China, on and on, they're usually pretty good-sized countries with lots of land mass. How could Israel have all of these nuclear weapons, and what kind of an insane country would allow Israel to put nuclear warheads into their country? I just always wanted to ask somebody this, that I thought...
Well, it's under keel cloak of diplomacy. See, the diplomatic luggage isn't allowed to be inspected. It's not that Israel has ICBMs. It's that Israel has, call them suitcase nukes, that position in the capitals of Europe and in, I don't know, quite a few cities here in the United States. Now, the question becomes the detectability of those nukes. I've heard conflicting stories about it. I have no doubt whatsoever, by the way, that Israel has position those nukes in the major capitals of the West and in the largest cities in the United States. But because of their components, the radioactivity, These are devices that are detectable. And I've heard from a source that I consider to be highly reliable that the nukes that they planted have been neutralized. But I'd hate for us to have to cross a bridge to test that proposition. So you're asking a good question, Karen. They've also benefited from spies. They got a lot of atomic secrets from spies, Jonathan Pollard being the most notable, that have given Israel information. They've been very, very clever in infiltrating governments that they have targeted, none more so than the United States. So that's basically.
Well, how can you keep the United States as an ally when you've got a knife to their throat? That, well, you're either going to go along with our program, our Zionist program, or we're going to blow up L.A. or Chicago or probably New York off.
I know.
Too many Jews living there.
But,
I mean, it just seems preposterous to me that anybody in their right mind would go along with all of this. I mean, it just doesn't seem even rational.
Well, look at it this way. Jeffrey Epstein was running an Israeli op to get goods on prominent American political and industry leaders so they could blackmail them to cooperate with the Israeli agenda. And it seems to have worked like a charm. Plus, you may have heard me talk about the pledge. Cynthia McKinney on Iranian television in 2011 revealed the pledge, which is that
I'm familiar with that.
Yeah, every new member of Congress is asked to sign a pledge to put the interests ahead of Israel, ahead of even those of the United States, and they sign like mad. You know, eight years or so, this friend of mine asked me if I knew how many members of the then-current Congress had not signed the pledge. And when I admitted I didn't, he held up one finger and one hand. There was only one member of Congress at the time. And then you look at the key positions, the Secretary of the Treasury, the Secretary of Homeland Security, the Attorney General, the Secretary of State. They're all dual U.S.-Israeli citizens. And they put their Israeli citizens.
Yeah, just let you know. That's why I left the United States, because honestly, I see it's kind of a hopeless situation because the American people. I mean, I read a lot of stuff on UNS, and I read, Paul Craig Roberts, and even Paul Craig Roberts come around and is saying all the time that, you know, the people in the United States are so dumbed down. I listen to Jeff Rentz. He says the same thing. You know, the people are so dumbed down that there's just no hope. All they do is they stick their face into a telephone and get on social media, and that's their life. They have no life out in the real world. I mean, I'm old enough to remember actually going out and protesting and the Vietnam, I didn't protest the Vietnam War. I was too young for that. But, you know, we were still active in our community. And the kids today, no, they don't care about anything.
Yeah, I know. They're cell phones.
That's it. Like a pacifier.
Their cell phones and their computers. Yes. Karen, you got so many great points there. We've now been joined by two others, but I really appreciate the call, Karen.
I'm gonna tune in. I'm gonna go to your blog because I'm familiar with that. That's gonna be like 10 o'clock in the morning on Saturday.
Yeah. Well, it's not at the blog. You can go to the blog to get the ticket to watch. It's gonna be from 9 a.m. Central to 10 p.m. in the evening.
It'll be 10 o'clock Eastern then. I'm looking forward to that. That just sounds wonderful. I'm familiar with so many of those people. Thank you so much, Jim.
Terrific, Karen.
Talk to you later.
Thanks for a very nice call. Gregory in California. Gregory, join the conversation.
Hello, James. Good to hear that you're doing good.
Hanging in there.
Beautiful day out today. Yeah, I was thinking about something you said during the show. I used to know this Creek Indian, and what he told me was the people of that nation caught anybody in a lie, they would just shun them. They wouldn't talk to them anymore because they wouldn't figure out, they couldn't rely on them to say they're not. So,
yeah.
if we did that to all these people, especially those monsters in Congress and Senate and all that, if we did that to them, what are they going to do? We refuse to vote for them anymore. Well, that's a pipe dream because they just vote for themselves and declare themselves dictators. But, yeah, it's pretty damn despotic, I must say.
Yeah, great, great. And with all the vote fraud and election theft, we're up against a real difficult situation. Fortunately, there's been so much attention focused on since 2020, it's going to be a whole lot harder to steal the election next time around. But I take nothing for granted. Trump can do a lot of good for the nation if he can get back in office. And it appears that he won by a huge margin. My best estimate, he got over 100 million votes and Biden 37. That shows you how bad it is. And why they're so desperate to bring in illegals. They're even getting them signed up to vote when they first come across. That's in their paperwork, Gregory. How bad is that? And of course, we got a sheriff down in Arizona explaining they're being given $5,000 debit cards when they come across the border right off the bat. Then $2,200 a month and food and shelter. In green cards. I mean, it's disgusting what's going on here.
It's amazing how long we've allowed all this to happen, for as long as it has.
They had to get somebody who is incompetent so it could all be done behind the scene. Barack Obama is a key player, I have no doubt. In bringing about the destruction of the country, it's just happening at a phenomenal rate. The lawlessness, the crime, all the illegals. It's really happening almost overnight, it seems. We desperately need to get a responsible party back in office. And that, as I see it, is Donald Trump.
Well, that's a sad card to play, but sad to say, you're probably right.
He's got a huge following, and even if he's flawed, I believe he really does care about America first. He secured our borders. He made us energy independent. The economy was chugging along so well that the lowest earning wage earners were seeing their wages rise at the highest rate. That's in part because he got rid of the illegals who undermine those who have the lowest paying jobs. I mean, it's horrific. But Biden's doing all this quite deliberately. Gregory, do you have a final thought?
Great show. Tally-ho, and be free if you can.
Thank you. Thank you, Gregory.
Much love.
A pleasure. Glad to have you here. Layla, I'm delighted you've called in. Your thoughts?
With regard to Karen's question, how can Israel plant or initiate this kind of global disaster? First of all, it's never underestimate their evil capacity. And remember, they've had a couple of centuries at minimum in order to put all of their players into positions where they can fulfill whatever objective they have. And secondly, they're so good at lying and just being so deceitful, it could just be a fake something to intimidate people. They may not have the power. See, this is the problem with when the first ones who issued the Balfour Declaration, Lloyd George, when he was prime minister, one of the things that was in a document or a book that was written by a historian is that he had this exaggerated belief that the Jews had this phenomenal power. Now, certainly they've been able with money and over the centuries to put people into place. Remember, they had a lot of international organizations, and one of the organizations was to plant people that they had recruited to with this concept of being Jewish, a fraudulent identity. And we can discuss that another time. But or it's going to come out. I think people already recognize that. But anyway, they planted people, basically their stooges, all over the world. They've had the money to do it and to keep them supported in one way or another. They've also got the influence through all the legislatures in different governmental institutions around the world. Nothing is beyond their scope. And one thing that they do have done, for example, what I researched with regard to how they were setting up the takeover of Palestine, was how they left absolutely nothing untouched. Everything was very deceitful. Everything was covered. They used people. They threw them away. Even if people were sincerely Jewish in their ideology, they would gladly dispose of them, because these people who were the elite, the plotters, the ones, the strategists, they have absolutely no morals. They have no religious, genuine religious ideology, other than what I believe might be the closest to Satanism on earth within the human form. I genuinely believe that now. So I would not put anything past them. They have people all over the place, whichever way they can do it. I believe that the Samson option may actually exist. And then again, it may just be, a ploy, just something to intimidate people and bring them into line. It's hard to say.
I've had reports lately that, radioactivity studies have shown those weapons are in those capitals. So I do not think it's just a ploy. I do think it's real. But think of how disgusting it is. You know, this is a population that declares they're going to take the whole world down if they aren't treated the way they want to be treated. I mean, this is repulsive behavior any way you cut it. It is disgusting. They're being ejected from the UN. Their ejection from the UN is fully justifiable under these circumstances, as I see it.
Well, they should never have been admitted to the UN, but they used the most deceitful tactics in the years leading up to the UN vote. They bought all the primary people, and they also had the influence with the Nobel brothers to give the one, for example, Lester Pearson. He had absolutely no justification for being awarded the Nobel Prize, because the work that he got the prize for was actually done by Dag Hammarskjöld and Ralph Bunche. And Dag Hammarskjöld was murdered by these people.
Yeah.
So I believe they do have some kind of destructive capacity that they planted globally, because they've had the time to do it. They've had the resources with regard to money and people who would sell their knowledge to them. And even if it weren't so, I mean, we've always known that there are insane people or diabolical people who, if I can't have what I want, I'll make sure that nobody does. And then again, if these people are as sinister, and there is such a thing as a satanic presence, then they're human. Even if they die or amongst, they don't actually die, because the spirit of evil may well live on. It's obviously survived for, if not hundreds of years, it's been thousands of years. Humanity, if you go back to the earliest history that we've been able to uncover, has always been capable of horrendous cruelty and sadism. And they certainly have brought it to a fine art. They've refined the skills of cruelty and sadism to the most indifferent point, where they glory in it, no longer hide it. And even now, even though they've had that resolution voted on by the UNGA calling for an immediate ceasefire, what have they done? Nothing. They're just telling you, I'm going to do whatever I want. What are you going to do about it? And yes. I condemn the Arab countries who have the capacity to make a difference. And they're sitting back and letting it all go to waste. They're just sitting back because they're waiting for the Palestinians to be disposed of,
Layla.
And they'll make their business deals.
Layla, keep your wonderful calls coming. Meanwhile, everyone, spend as much time with your family, your friends, and people you love and care about. We do not know how much time we have left. Support RBN. It's all here for you.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality